No one, not in my situation, can appreciate my feelings of sadness at this parting. To this place and the kindness of you people, I owe everything. I have lived here a quarter of a century and passed from a young to an old man. Here my children have been born, and one is buried. I now leave, not knowing when or whether ever I may return. I am called upon to assume the presidency at a time when 11 of our sovereign states have announced their intention to secede from the Union, when threats of war increase in fierceness from day to day. It is a grave duty which I now face. In preparing for it, I have tried to inquire, what great principle or ideal is it that has kept this Union so long together? And I believe that it was not the mere matter of separation of the colonies from the motherland, but that sentiment in the Declaration of Independence which gave liberty to the people of this country and hope to all the world. This sentiment was the fulfillment of an ancient dream, which men have held through all time, that they might one day shake off their chains and find freedom in the brotherhood of life. We gain democracy, and now there is the question of whether it is fit to survive. Perhaps we have come to the dreadful day of awakening, and the dream is ended. If so, I am afraid it must be ended forever. I cannot believe that ever again will men have the opportunity we have had. Perhaps we should admit that and concede that our ideals of liberty and equality are decadent and doomed. I have heard of an Eastern monarch who once charged his wise men to invent him a sentence which would be true and appropriate in all times and situations. They presented him the words, "And this too shall pass away." That is a comforting thought in time of affliction. "And this too shall pass away." And yet, let us believe that it is not true. Let us live to prove that we can cultivate the natural world that is about us and the intellectual and moral world that is within us so that we may secure an individual, social, and political prosperity whose course shall be forward and which, while the earth endures, shall not pass away. I commend you to the care of the Almighty, as I hope that in your prayers you will remember me. Goodbye, my friends and neighbors. An actor playing the bit part of Kavanaugh, an army officer, said, "Time to pull out, Mr. President. Better get inside the car." Lincoln gets into the car as the crowd sings John Brown's Body. Another actor, cast as a brakeman, waved his lantern. That was when Trout was supposed to blow the whistle, and he did. As the curtain descended, there was a sob backstage. It wasn't in the playbook. It was ad lib. It was about beauty. It came from Kilgore Trout. Anything we said at the cast party, the clam bake on the beach, was at first hesitant and apologetic, almost as though English were our second language. We were mourning not only Lincoln, but the death of American eloquence.